I think that the Affordable Care Act, you know, as long as it wasn't a name, the Obamacare, it would pass. They made the test already. But the fact of the matter is, at the essence of it all, is people need health care.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Archie Moore, January 27, 1954, of course, winner 15 rounds over Joey Maxim. Got to meet both of these guys. Let me tell you a little about Archie. Of course, 1991, we're over in Richmond, California. I've got a three-minute live block on Cox TV. Okay, we're going to do the pay-per-view, of course, for George Foreman and Evander Holyfield. And Foreman's going to be my guest for this majority of this three-minute block. Okay, it's a three-minute block. I've only got a satellite time for 3 minutes. So anyway, we get rolling, and George rolls overtime. I mean, you know, George likes to talk, right? So he rolls overtime, even though I elbowed him during the thing. Hey, we need to quit. We need to quit. Anyway, because I needed to go to Archie. Didn't have enough time for Archie Moore. Archie Moore turned around, and he got in my face. I mean, like, he was ready to knock me out. I kid you not. So I had to, like, whoa, talk this old man down. I'm saying to myself, why should I be talking this old man down? I mean, you know, if it had been straight up, bang, it had been over. Anyway, even the old Archie Moore. So anyway, we go to the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 1992, just a year later. And, you know, I like to rib people now and then. So I'm talking with Bob Foster. And, of course, Bob Foster is considered probably the greatest light heavyweight champion of all time. He comes to us from Albuquerque, New Mexico. They called him the sheriff because he worked part-time for the sheriff's department down there. But Bob told me he had – Bob liked his beer. So Bob was having a couple of beers. We were at Graziano's up there in Canasota, New York. And he says to me, he goes, Archie Moore was across the ring. He says, you know, Archie Moore – he goes, that MF couldn't hit me in the ass with a ping-pong paddle. No, I take that back. A tennis racket. A tennis racket. I said, man, I said, don't say that so loud, Bob. He goes, no, you go tell Arch that. I don't care. So, you know, me being the dare guy that I was a young kid. I didn't know, right? So I went in the other room, and about a half hour later, I'm talking with Archie Moore, and I said, you know, Bob Foster said you couldn't hit him in the ass with a tennis racket or a baseball bat, something like that. Anyway, I don't realize that he'd taken it real serious, okay? And he starts taking off his clothes. So he takes off his coat. I'm not thinking nothing of it. I may just take it off his coat, but I'm not thinking nothing of it. So he takes off his hat. Then he starts taking off his cufflinks, right? And then I start freaking out. And I realize the old man's going to go in the other room and go after Bob Foster. I just started a fight between these two Hall of Famers. I kid you not. So anyway, I go, oh, Archie, I was just kidding. I didn't know what to say. I mean, you know, I'm the river, right? I mean, anyway, bottom line is he gets in my face again. He goes, you ever do that again and I knock you out. Archie Moore, guy's like 85 years old. What could I say? At that point in time, he had the upper hand. But Archie Moore, the old mongoose, may he rest in peace. Of course, he's getting a lot of internet play, the guy with the most knockouts in boxing history, but he almost knocked me out not once, but twice. With that being said, we will take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber. Of course, we'll talk about Mr. Socrates Palmer. Sock, Archie ever try to knock you out?
I never had the pleasure of being threatened by a legend. So, no, I never got to meet him. That's a great story. Yes, I definitely would still be afraid of the guy with the most knockouts in boxing history.
Yeah, I wasn't the first time, but I was the second time. Yeah, I mean, in other words, you know, in Richmond, I had a suit and tie on, no, not, you know, he's not going to slug a TV guy with a cameraman there, I don't think, all right. But at the Boxing Hall of Fame, I came close. I came close probably to getting cracked. And Bob Foster came even closer. So, you know, Bob was in the other room. Bob wasn't one of those guys that's going to fight anybody, but Archie sort of kept us up. I watched Archie get this out. He was in his late 70s, I believe, and I saw him one morning doing road work.
Wow. Talk about living your gimmick, huh?
So I said to myself, you know, and then it's all starting to come together here. This guy's doing road work at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm coming home at 6 o'clock in the morning, and he's out doing road work. Different lifestyles. Anyway, and let's talk about the Calib thing. How many Calibs are there in the 168-pound division? Three?
Well, tonight, I guess two of the better Calibs are going to hook it up. It looks like a mismatch. I mean, the champion, Caleb Plant, Sweet Hands, is a 50-1 favorite, you know. Caleb Truax is 37, you know, almost 11 years age difference between the two. I can't see Sweet Hands having a hard time against a guy that's a game fighter, tough career. He's fought some good names, I thought his one time that he really shined was against James DeGale, and they robbed him. He think they made it a draw, then he lost a rematch, a little, you know, more convincing. But at 37, a lot of miles on that body, I can't see Plant losing more than one or two rounds. I don't see him being stopped, but I just see Plant outclassing Mr. Truax tonight.
You know, I could see the strategy here. I mean, it's pretty obvious. They bring a guy from Europe that's sort of hot, around 168 pounds, and they make him a name, they give him a belt, and they put him in the Canelo Alvarez sweepstakes. Isn't that the way this looks?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, at 168 pounds, the PBC roster, I mean, they have good fighters. I mean, the other guy in that world is Benavidez, and that's a fight that seems a lot easier to make than waiting for Canelo. So hopefully, things go the way they're supposed to, and I believe Benavidez has a fight against a kid from Lynn, Massachusetts, Ellis, I forget his first name. And hopefully, you know, by the summer, these two guys hook it up, man. I mean, and then they can call out Canelo and say that they're the top guy at 168. To me, it makes the most sense for the fight fans and the fight that people really want to see.
David Benavidez, of course, Mauricio Sulaiman, president of the World Boxing Council, on the show last week. He's 23-0 with 20 whacks, of course, coming to us from Phoenix, Arizona. He's going to take on Ronald Ellis, 18-1 with a couple of draws. He's going to go down March the 13th. Is that going to be on DAZN? Do you know?
No, I think it would probably be on one of the Fox outlets because, to my knowledge, Benavidez is a PBC guy, and PBC doesn't really do much business with DAZN. It's not like a cross-promotional thing. But it is good. Hell of a talent, you know. He likes the party, hopefully.
No. He doesn't like the party. He likes cocaine. There's a difference.
Yes, that is.
Big difference. Big difference, okay? I like the party and go have two beers. I like the party, okay? But no. He had issues. Anyway, Benavidez, 23 and zip. I thought he was a superstar in the making a couple of years ago, 18 months ago. The jury is out on him right now, but he's a five-star fighter, no doubt about that, coming to us from Phoenix, Arizona, 168 pounds. So 168 pounds, Canelo's weight. Everybody wants to fight Canelo. Is there a chance we can get the fight? The fight I want to see and Hector wants to see is Charlo. We want to see him fight the 160-pound Charlo.
That's a great fight. But then there's also talks about Charlo calling out Benavidez. So I don't know, man. I mean, as far as geographically, that fight's a monster hit. I mean, if they make that fight in Texas, in Houston, it's a great draw, obviously. Well, I mean, anything with Canelo, you know, attached to it is a great draw, but then you put in Charlo's, a guy from Houston who's got a regional fan base and a big mouth that could sell some tickets. It's a great fight. I would love to see that fight happen.
I mean, I'm looking at 168 here. Alvarez, of course, on top. Callum Smith, Danny Jacobs, David Benavidez, Billy Joe Saunders, Caleb Plant, Fedor Chudinox, John Ryder, Anthony Durrell. He really around still? Jürgen Brenner, that's the top 10 according to BoxRec.com. Not a whole lot jumping out there as far as big money fights are concerned. How do they make Benavidez a guy that's going to draw? In other words, I mean, he needs some I think if people saw his abilities and he was able to perform at the highest level without doing any blow and that kind of good stuff, he could, like, get himself a nice fan base. But, you know, you gotta be consistent. You got to fight a few times.
Yes. Inactivity has been an issue. I know he has some managerial issues. He was with promotional issues with Samson Lukowicz. I don't know where that stands right now. But he's an exciting fighter. He throws 100 punches around. I mean, in all angles, he's tall. He doesn't look like he can crack, but he hurts people, you know. He actually fought once on the pay-per-view card. I think one of Floyd's cards. He beat up Jillian Love, you know. So he had a buzz, but he's been his own worst enemy. The best fight to make, as far as you know, is him and Caleb Plant. Him and Caleb Plant, two completely different styles. One guy's a flat-footed, he can destroy type of dude. Plant is a classic boxer who really hasn't had a big fight since he took the title from Uskegi, the Colombian guy. And hopefully that fight gets made. You know, it's a real test for both guys before either one calls out Canelo Alvarez.
Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're tuned to the insiders look into the world of boxing. Of course, coming to you live Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, a new channel on Sirius XM, Channel 217, and of course, live worldwide on iHeartRadio. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA.
I hope that you understand that not one single person, not one single committee can do anything for boxing. It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other. I hope that we understand that by being public figures, we are targets for character assassination. I hope that we understand that if we want to be leaders, we have to convince with actions, to show always good faith, to love boxing and love boxers. We should not answer a slap with a slap, but with action and facts.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer!
Woo! Some new Tower of Power here. The Soul Side of Town. Check it out. They've got a couple new albums out. Cudi tells me they don't call them albums anymore. They call them drops. So they dropped a couple of albums or records or whatever you want to call it, CDs, in the last couple of years. Bottom line is they got a new one out. Tower of Power, rock and roll. And, of course, the guys from the East Bay. Check them out, towerofpower.com. I mentioned earlier about Archie Warren, Joey Maxim. Of course, Joey Maxim, I remember Joey and I were in Las Vegas, former light heavyweight champion. Of course, he and Sugar Ray Robinson were involved in an epic battle that ended in the 14th round when Robinson couldn't come out because of heat. Said he had lost 12 pounds during the fight, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, Joey told me he was kicking Sugar Ray's ass, just for the record. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, on the line for the Bronx Bomber himself, boxing's true PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And I got to say, I'm going to say a name and you're going to give me what you think. How's that?
Okay.
Trevor Bryan.
Well, this morning you got to call him champ when you came to the street. Yeah, you got to call him champ. I mean, hey, he didn't make the rules. He's just playing by them. The young man won a version of the WBA heavyweight championship last night against a game but very shot Brendan Severn. And it is what it is in 2020. He is the WBA champion. He joins the legendary ranks of guys like named Chagayev and Nicholas Valuev.
Hey, all right. Time out, though. Let's be honest, man. I've dated girls that were less bustier than him, and I've dated some stacked women.
Yeah, man. Last night, it was
Battle of the Boobs?
Yeah, I mean, between him and Severn, I mean, ring card girls don't come out like the way they used to when you and I were kids, but they made a few of them blush. You know, they definitely were not poster child for, men's fitness. But, it's not a bodybuilding contest, and Trevor Bryan, up until the point of him stopping Severn, he wasn't all too impressive, but, he won the title convincingly. No shenanigans. Severn was a last-minute replacement, although he was already scheduled to be on that card because Manuel Char wasn't able to.
Oh, that was a scam! That was another.
You're not going to believe
they tell us? Oh, man, Don King didn't send him a contract. They did that on purpose so they could get Bermaine Stavern in the sky to fight. It was all a scam. I mean, I will say this. Listen, we heard Don King earlier, him talking about Obamacare, and I wanted to bring that up. Obamacare is back. If you live in California and you make less than $51,000 a year, you can get free health care with Obamacare and, of course, the California state plan. But Obamacare was back, and how can I put this? Don King is not back. That's what I'm trying to get at. Is Obamacare is back and Don King's not. And I was trying to be eloquent about it, and I was thinking about it there for a while, so you heard that long pause as Pedro was thinking. I just don't want to rip the old man, but, man, that was not the way to go. If that's his going-out card, coming in with the Rumble in the Jungle in 1974, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and George Foreman in Zaire, Africa, if that's what you open with and you end with that piece of spit last night, that really tarnishes his legacy.
You know what? Since he has now a version of the heavyweight title, I'm assuming that, you know, at some point, maybe not in 2 years, because that's the last time Mr. Bryant fought before last night, he fights one of the big guys, whether it be Fury, Joshua, or Wilder, and that would probably be the swan song.
I tried to get him to, there was a purse bid going to go on, a WBO purse bid a couple years ago with Joseph Parker, and the bid was going to be less than $2 million. So I get King on the phone, I said to him, Godfather, I said, I'm figuring this out, this and that, and this purse bid is going to go down for less than $2 million involving Joseph Parker. I said, so you can get back in the mix by purse bidding on this fight. I said, you know, and you can get probably take it to the Seminole Casino down there or maybe get another country to pick it up. But the bottom line is you can get back in the mix for less than $2 million and be right on top, right? He didn't want to have no part of that. So I don't know if he doesn't have the cash anymore or he doesn't have the wherewithal anymore or he just doesn't. Or he's just not Don King. Maybe, you know, like I told you, last time we were really together was in Budapest, Hungary. And we had to stand him up a couple times. He couldn't stand up. You know how some people need to use the side of a chair to stand themselves up? We had to actually stand him up. So I know he's had health issues, and maybe that's, you know, I don't know. I felt bad. Even the TV was terrible last night.
Yeah, it definitely was. Although I think Nate Campbell did a nice job. I like Nate on the color side. It looked like you could have recorded that on a cell phone. You know, the production was, you know, not one to make Showtime or Fox jealous. Don is a legend.
But if he's looking to live off his past, guess what? His past is spent. Because I listen, anybody that paid to watch that card last night, I'm calling you guys out now, okay? If anybody that paid to watch that card last night, listen, you're out of your mind, you're on drugs, you're delusional, you got caught up in the fact it was a Don King Productions and you expected quality, something like that. But there's no way anybody could have went out there with a good sense of mind and wanting to hold on to $20 and want to throw it on that garbage.
Listen, unless you were not family to somebody that was fighting on that card, you had absolutely no business of purchasing that fight. The odd thing was, it's something I've never seen. The show, the telecast ended by them showing the replay of Larry Holmes versus Jerry Cooney. I don't know if you caught that. And it was nice, to see, but, you know, since it came on at about almost 1 a.m, I think I bowed out after the 6th round, but I've never seen that before.
Okay. Here's something you never seen before. I'm willing to ask you on this one. I'll put you on the spot. Larry Holmes and Jerry Cooney. Larry Holmes is defending the World Heavyweight Championship against the great White Hope. Guess who they introduced first?
I saw it. They introduced the champ first while they were in the ring. Well, that was very, very odd to see.
Wait, have you ever seen that before in the history of boxing?
Never. Never.
So why did they do it that night for the great? Because he was a great White Hope, correct?
Yes, and legend has it that he even received a phone call from then President Ronald Reagan in his locker room before the fight.
go get that black guy. Anyway, I'll say this thing. Jerry Cooney and Larry Holmes are the best of friends now. They hang out together. I mean, Larry was on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about that. They still do gigs together. And, you know, I've seen it. They're sort of cool together. They're sort of cool together. I mean, you know, Larry's Larry and Jerry's Jerry, and they both got distinctly different personalities. And Cooney's no longer drinking. I remember when he came on the show like, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago, something like that. And I've been on the show on the air that long. He came on the show when, and he said to me, I said, so tell me about your son. He goes, so you just had a baby. He goes, yeah, he's got a hell of a set of nuts on him. And I went, huh? And my producer's going, what did he say? I didn't ask him to repeat it. Bottom line is that was Jerry Cooney. But Jerry's doing good things. He's got this organization. I don't know what it's called. I can't remember the name of it right now. Punch or something like that. But he helps a lot of fighters. In fact, he was with me. We were the only two people from the boxing establishment to go to Rockport, Illinois about 15, 18 years ago, something like that, to support Gerald McCullen and the late Greg Page. The bottom line is nobody else in the boxing establishment showed up. Jerry Cooney and me. So Jerry's got class. Just like you, Sock. Lots of class.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad to be in that distinguished group. Thank you.
All the best. Say hello to the agent. Say hello to the wife. And, of course, let's get a baby update real quick. How are we doing?
Sebastian is doing great. He's doing what babies do. Sleep, eat, and poop.
Yeah, you keep telling me the same story every week. We got to change that story. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The great Socrates Palmer appears Saturday on Ring Talk.